So sometimes I struggle thinking about what I want to speak about, and this is one of those. It's a rare week that there's so much I want to talk about. There's really so much I want to talk about. The front after last night, especially after Michaela spoke last night, there's so much I want to talk about. And I took time this morning, my morning shiur at night, my night shiur, just to further elaborate and discuss certain Nakuda, certain points that Rakelish made that I thought needed more conversation. And somebody asked me earlier today, I hype up Rakelish. I think somebody told me after I introduced him yesterday that I introduced him as Moshe Rabbeinu. So when I speak a lot, my brain turns off, my mouth goes. And I didn't believe, there's no way I actually said that, but somebody played me the recording, I actually said that. Not sure what I meant by that, but it came out of my mouth. But I do hype up, I definitely hype up Rabbi Kalish. He's a major influence on me, major influence on me, and I have a lot of hakaras hatov for everything he helped me understand about myself, about life, about Yiddishkeit. And I do hype him up, but somebody asked me, I hyped him up, so he came last night, and it was a Dvar Torah. He heard a nice Dvar Torah. Maybe even he wrote it down, he took notes, it was nice Dvar Torah. So like, okay, what was all the hype, what was all the excitement? So there's also another question. I'm not talking about this, but there's so much I want to talk about. I might not get to what I want to talk about. But there's another question that, it's a strange thing in Yiddishkeit that when we, this is how it should be, at least, that when we talk to each other, when we interact, when we get to know each other, we share Divrei Torah. That's not really ourselves. We share thoughts. It's an intellectual conversation. We share ideas and thoughts and opinions about Torah. But how is that interacting with each other? It's not really interacting with the person. You're exchanging Torah ideas. So I hype up Rabbi Kalish, but he just said it about Torah. I don't know who he is. I don't see who he is. So I want to say something. It's not what I want to say, but I just want to say it as a preface. I think it's valuable to hear and to think about and to discuss also further. When we share Divrei Torah, that's really, we're getting to know, we're getting to learn and understand our core. We're getting to understand ourselves. Sharing Divrei Torah is an expression of really who we are. And it's through Torah, the Torah that speaks to you, the Torah that you connect to, the Torah that is valuable and makes an impression on you, that Torah doesn't become you, the Torah is you. And you learn about yourself, you become connected because that Torah is you, and that expression that comes out of you, that's the Torah that you're sharing, that you're sharing yourself. So when you go to one shear of a person, you hear a small fraction of the expression of his neshama. And sometimes when you meet a person's neshama, oh, that's a good-looking guy. You know, I could be friends with that guy. That's a cool guy. I could be friends. I could spend time with that kind of person. But you saw a very small fraction of his neshama. And then you spend more time, and you see, oh, he's a really cool guy. I really like his neshama. You spend more time. So it's not, when we share, when we exchange Divrei Torah, it's not an intellectual conversation, and he said something, but I don't really know much about him. No, that's, you know everything about him through those conversations. He's expressing his neshama to you. And the more you spend time listening to those expressions of neshama, you get to know the person really, really well. And if that person is a person that is on the same page or aligns with your neshama, that becomes your world. That person uplifts your whole world, and you just want to spend more time with that person. So, yeah, it's true that one exchange of Divrei Torah is a fraction of the person's neshama. But to get to know people, you need to talk in Divrei Torah. Talking in Divrei Torah is sometimes the only true way to get to know people. Otherwise, you sit around talking politics and nonsense. You don't get to know anybody through politics and other conversations. You get to know people through the way they express and they understand and they relate to Divrei Torah. Okay, I'll say what I would like to talk about. So there's a process of genocide, and it's the first, to my knowledge, attempt of national genocide, at least that we know about in our history. So Vayamas Yosef, Kol Echav, and all the brothers died, and all the brothers died, they seized the opportunity. Vayakam Elachadash, Vayasim Olav Sari Misim Laman Anosa. So there was an agenda, a lot of Jews, a lot of Jews is a constant problem, but there are a lot of final solutions written about. And the first final solution, when they saw too many Jews, so the only answer to too many Jews is genocide. But genocide sometimes, because of politics and popular opinion, needs to be masked. So they masked the genocide through Inur. They made them work very hard. If they work very hard, it's going to control the population. You could eliminate the high number of Jews by creating just avdus, a shibud. Population control, a very masked genocide. And that didn't work. So Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim le'mialdos Evrio, so he told the nurses, Shifra Pua, in ben hu v'amisen osam. So he told them to discreetly, nobody should notice, nobody should see, discreetly, if it's a boy, right when he comes out, you just make it that he doesn't come out alive. Nobody should notice. It shouldn't be on the news. It should go very, very quietly. So we're going to be a little bit more on the genocidal train. That didn't work also, because the Mialdos were Tzidkanios. And then he just went all out. Yitzav paru l'kol amo lemor kol ha-ben ha-yilo ra-yo-ra tashlichu. Just throw him in the river. I don't have time for this. You know, let's build gas chambers. I don't have time for this. Let's just go. Let's have a good time. And you read these psukim, and the power is having a great time, and all the mitzvim are having a great time, everybody's having a great time. And by the Jews, it's quiet. No response. Nobody tries to fight it, to protest. Nobody's marching down Fifth Avenue. Very quiet. No response. There's an acceptance of their fate. And they're powerless. They seem to be powerless. And you think they're powerless. You think they're powerless because, possibly, they knew that this is bound to happen. Avram Avinu was promised that his great-grandkids are going to be Avodim and Mitzrayim 400 years. So they had a promise, and the promise is Shem's pulling through with his promise. So what am I going to do? So you sit back, and you take the hit. You take the hit. They didn't respond. They accepted the position of Golus. And last week, we had a small thing, thanks to Avi, we had a small thing here. And last week I expressed that the Klal Yisrael at this point, they became, what Chazal tells, Nistemu Einein V'Livon Shel Yisrael. That the Jews at that time, not just they were quiet because they felt there was no gain in protesting, but they didn't even realize what was happening to them. They lost their senses. They couldn't feel, they couldn't see. They lost sense of what was going on, where this progression was leading them. And so they fell to the deepest galus. And the deepest galus is when you've accepted the position of galus. That's the darkest galus. The darkest galus is when you've come to terms that galus is your permanent reality. And so they accepted it as powerless. But a few psukim later, it's a strange thing, is a few psukim later, Vayihi b'yomim harabim ahem, it was in those days, Vayionchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodim. All of a sudden, there was an uprising. Not an uprising like in the ghetto, not an uprising tried to fight the Mitzrayim, but a spiritual uprising. They started to cry out to Hashem, Vayizaku v'tal shavosam lel ha'alokim v'yishma elokim. They both start to protest. That's an effective protest. What they do in the streets, I don't know, sometimes yes, sometimes not. But this is an effective protest. An effective protest is the protest to the one who has control. So Vayizaku, Vayonchu, they started to protest. So what happened? What changed? A minute ago, they accepted their fate as powerless, and all of a sudden now there's an uprising. So the Ramban learns, the Chizkuni learns, that something changed. What changed was is they were waiting for the king to die. And they had some internal hope that when the king dies, things will change. And now the king died, and nothing changed. So now it's time to fight back. Now it's time to make noise. Now they got to rise up. That's the Ramban of Chizkuni. But Rashi learns that nobody died. Rashi learns that the king got saras. The king got saras, and Rashi says, the cure, apparently, I don't know if they were so sophisticated medically, maybe they were more sophisticated medically. They understand that the cure for tzaras is to bathe in baby's blood. And what better baby's blood that you could find than Jewish baby's blood? I guess this is where blood libels came from. whatever they accuse us of is always what they did to us. You can rest assured that if there's any accusation about the atrocities of Klal Yisrael, you can rest assured that those are the atrocities that they do to Klal Yisrael. So they have the original blood libel. He bathed, it wasn't a libel, it was true. He bathed in the kid's blood, but nothing changed. They were oppressing us, they were making us our lives miserable for years and years and generations. And now, he's also bathing in the kids. They were putting the babies as bricks. They were throwing the babies in the river. So now he shefted a couple, now instead of just throwing them in the river, a baby levatala. So you have a baby with a purpose. I could at least use his blood. Why should I waste the blood? I'll use the blood. Nothing changed. No circumstance changed. So like I said, a lot of sayyidahs that Rav Kalev said last night, all of these sayyidahs, I told somebody today, I could spend the next 3 months on each sayyid, just really elaborating each sayyid, what I understood, maybe he meant it, maybe he didn't. And there was one thing he said yesterday, really, really got to me, really got to me. He said, "Vani baruch chaslecha v'tachti, yog yalivi b'shua saf." If you heard it last night, I'm going to repeat what he said. If you didn't, could I listen? "Vani baruch chaslecha v'tachti, I have a ton of faith in Hashem's rachman. I know Hashem's going to pull through. Hashem is very merciful. Vani baruch chaslecha v'tachti, he has a lot of chesed, and I'm boteach in his chesed. I know he's going to pull through. Yogel libi b'shua secha." So Kalish pointed out that yogel is a lashon of simcha, of sudden shock of simcha. Yogel is lashon gilu. It was a sudden revelation, sudden change of events. And that change of events, everything went, let's say, from bad to good. That sudden shock was, oh, what a joy. It's an expression of joy that comes from a sudden change of bad to good. But then the pasuk doesn't make sense. Because it says, "Vani barov chas lechavotachti, I have bitachon, Hashem's going to pull through. Yogel libi, I'm so shocked, b'shua secha." Why are you shocked? You had bitachon, he's going to pull through. Why are you shocked? You knew this was going to happen the whole time. So Kalev said a beautiful pshat, early beautiful pshat. He said that the yogel libi is in the present, before the Yeshua. He said a beautiful pshat. Amazing pshat. Could I listen? I'll expound later if you're interested. But the kasha was so profound. I couldn't stop thinking about this kasha, such an amazing kasha. And I want to share with you a pshat that I thought of. Pshat that I thought of. It's not like Rabbi Kalish, but it's also a thought. It's also a thought. When you have bitachon that Hashem's going to pull through, most of us, and I think it's healthy, it's good bitachon, you visualize the process. You need a Yeshua, and you believe Hashem's going to pull through, and you visualize, forgive me for talking about this sensitive point, and I don't want to make an issue of it because it's complicated and confusing, but you visualize that Hashem's going to rescue all the hostages. The top unit in the IDF is going to go in, and they're going to know exactly where they are, and a whole operation, and take one by one, and on their shoulders and run out, and the planes, the helicopters are waiting outside, and they put them in, they rescue every last hostage. That's it. You visualize, your bitachon creates a visual in your mind. That's what's going to happen. And that's what you daven. That's what you hope, and that's where you put all your faith. That's the process. And then you had that visualization October 8th. October 8th, a long time ago. And then you heard stories, a couple hostages, they mistook them for Hamas terrorists, and they shot a few of the hostages. And then a few hostages they discovered no longer alive. And that visualization that you had, that bitachon that you knew was going to happen, starts to fall apart. The whole thing starts to unravel, starts to fall apart. And then you get to, I don't know, today's 15 January, 15, 16, I know it's after J6. J6 is a big yontif for people. A week or two after J6, you get to this point in history, and they're telling us, I trust and I daven, but my tefillos, if anything, now, don't take your foot off the gas. Press the gas harder now. Tefillos right now, nobody came out yet. Nobody came out yet. And they're telling me that somebody's maybe going to come out now. Okay, let's step on the gas harder. The Tehillim has to get louder and with more kavanah now. Now is a very, very important, very vital time. The window's open right now. If the window's open, you make sure you take advantage. You use that window. Good opportunity now. Don't lose sight of what's happening. Don't let go of the gas. Keep pressing the gas. And you start to visualize. And if this works out, and everybody should be alive and well, as well and alive as they could possibly be. But all of a sudden, I'm shocked that this is how it turned out. Some of them come out, they look great, some of them not so great, mentally, physically, psychologically. And I didn't expect it like this. It's not how I thought. I didn't put my bitachon in this kind of plan, not at all the way I anticipated, but it's unfolding in the most unexpected way, that when I was berov chasta chavatachti, yagalibi bishuasecha, you had a whole different plan up your sleeve. Because the plan that I visualized had to be like this. But you took me on a different route with so many detours, so many unexpected twists and turns. And to hold on to my bitachon that I started down this road with, you know how difficult that was for me? You know how many detours you had to take me, and I still had to hold on to that bitachon that my whole understanding of how the rescue mission was going to be had was one day after the next day entirely destroyed. And yet, I stuck with my Berov Chastecho V'tachti, but when you pulled through, Yal Gelidi B'Shuasecha, that's not the way I thought it was going to happen. And so Rashi says, he started to bathe himself in the baby's blood. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for 400 years in slavery. Avram, the Zayda, told us, we're going to be sitting Avodim and Mitzrayim 400 years. I signed up for that. And nobody gave me a choice. That I signed up for. To take my babies, to shech them, to slaughter them, and to now bathe in their blood, what an arrogant, achzorious, cruel behavior. That I never signed up for. That wasn't what I came to accept. That was not my vision of the Sheba. And so, like Rav Kalish also said last night, a different Yisayit, Tala b'id nesaget le. You have to respond to the circumstances. And when the circumstances change, you have to respond accordingly. And you can't just wait this one out. You know, the avdus, I was willing to wait out. I accepted quietly. I was willing to wait it out. Powerlessly, I was willing to wait it out. But this, you're going to shech the babies, use their blood? I got to respond accordingly. I got to get out now. I need to get out now. I can't sit here for 400 years and watch this happen. Another 400 years of this we were never promised. Avdus we were promised. But shechting babies, that we were never promised. And there's a mahalach. There has to be mahalach. Because if we were promised this kalala of 400, there has to be mahalach to get out now, because this we were never promised. And that powerless acceptance, that bechastacha in a way, that berov chastacha v'tachti, that I put in my faith and this is how it's going to work out, I got to make adjustments now. I got to start anticipating, and not just anticipating, but manipulating a whole entire new Yal Gelibi B'Shuasecha. So it started to trickle in a little bit early. I'll tell you what started to trickle in a little bit earlier. These midwives, Vatereno Amialdos Es Alokim, they feared God. That's one madrega. They feared God. It's a very lofty madrega. What did they do about that? Velo asu kasher diber alein melech Mitzrayim. They refused to listen to Paro. They didn't just fear God. They went above and beyond. Fear God is a great madrega. But they weren't satisfied with just fearing God. They took that fear of heaven, and they didn't do like Melech Mitzrayim told them to do. And if you thought that was enough for me and you, I think that's enough. For me, that's enough. They weren't satisfied with that. And they kept going. Vatichayena es hayelodim. They took care of the kids. They coddled them. They played with them. They bathed them. They really took care of them. Yir Shemaim is the loftiest madrega. And they took the Yir Shemaim. They went to the next level. And they didn't listen to Paro. And then they went to the next level. Vatichayena es hayelodim. These were powerless people that were changing courses. They retook the reins. the powerless were now becoming powerful, and they were defining themselves. And a small child walks out of the palace, Vayetzel Echov, Vayar Besivlosan. He saw their pain. Says Chazal, he didn't just see their pain. Nason Eino Velibo Liosmeitzer Elen. A few sukkim ago, just last week, we said Nistemu Einein Velibon Shel Yisrael. They got completely foggy. They had no clarity. They had no vision. All their senses were lost. And this little kid comes out of a palace, Nason Eino Velibo, and he regained his senses. The powerless masses of Klal Yisrael, the ones that were willing to give up everything because this is the way it's going to be, just to accept their fate, this is what we were promised, this is the way it's going to be, are all of a sudden in the middle of the Sheba. It was the middle. This was, they only stayed for 210 years, and this young child was born. He was 80 years old when they left. This young child at the time, Vayigdol Moshe, was bar, he just had a bar mitzvah over here in the palace. This was 100 years and change into the Sheba. Almost 300 years left. There's a long, lengthy Sheba ahead. And they said, no, not for us. Not for us. If the circumstances change, our response changes. And they stopped being powerless and they took the reins. And sometimes when you trust that Hashem is going to get you where you need to be, but the twists and turns of life tell you otherwise. And the detours of life tell you that it's not the vision exactly as you imagined it. And what you wanted is not the way it's going to be. But it could be much better. It could be much better. Because the way it's supposed to be is much better than the way you want it to be. The way it's supposed to be is always going to be better. The way He wants it to be is always going to be better than the way you want it to be. A lot of people were very matzliach in our lives. As powerless people. As powerless people who by the stroke of chance and luck and circumstance, we just do well. We just succeed. But there's a limitation of how much we take the reins and we determine our own success. We allow fate to determine. We do what we're supposed to do. We behave the way we're supposed to behave. And we allow life to lead our way into a lot of times success. A lot of times good places. And this week, last week, a few crazy people came up with crazy ideas. One of them, I'm happy he's here. He got up and he said a whole Meshuggah idea, aspire higher. Whole Meshuggah idea, aspire higher. Everybody is working very hard the whole day. And now, let's be crazy, let's work harder. Meshuggah idea. Everybody's putting in very long hours. A crazy guy, let's put in more hours. Meshuggah idea. Meshuggah idea. Because when you're in yeshiva, you do amazing. Everybody does amazing. You grow tremendously. It's an amazing experience, opportunity. And one Meshuggah guy is to stand up and say, no. I'm not just going to let it be matzliach by accident on its own. I'm going to take the reins. And if you've been in yeshiva a little bit, you know, you've learned very quickly that all the hatzlacha in yeshiva is after hours. After hours. That's the hatzlacha in yeshiva. After hours, the extras. The extras define you. You have your Shemayim? Amazing. Amazing. Now what are you going to do? Now don't listen to Paro. You're not listening to Paro? Amazing. Now what are you going to do? But the Chayenesi Aladdin. You're sitting in the palace enjoying yourself, having a great time. So go look at the Vayar B'Siflosa, not just Vayar. Open your senses. Open your eyes. Open your understanding. Get clarity. What more can you accomplish? What more can you gain? We have a great schus to live in a world that puts us in amazing places, and we really succeed in amazing ways. And sometimes it takes a little bit more, just a little bit more, not to accept circumstance, not to just accept circumstance, but to create circumstance. When a person is on top of it, is aware, he gets back, he's nasan eina velibo, to create circumstance. That's where you really thrive, when you create circumstance. So it's really Karzatov to Kalish who really started these thoughts and these ideas. He brought it to yeshiva, and now people are talking and developing and continuing and elaborating these ideas. So tremendous Karzatov to Kalish. And now in yeshiva, we can live out these ideals, live out these concepts, and really put our actions into our values. And God's love should continue. Shabbat shalom.